Amen. Amen. How y'all doing? Oh, it's so good to be here. Pastor Sam, first and foremost, Pastor Sam and Pastor Brenda, on behalf of Pastor Rachel, myself, on behalf of myself, Pastor Rachel and Pastor Jeremiah, we just want to say thank you. We absolutely love you both. Y'all have set such an incredible example for us. You have impacted our lives. You've impacted lives in this place. We wouldn't be here outside of how God has used you and your wife to just love us. So thank you. Amen. So y'all ready for the word today? Amen. Well, I get the great privilege of starting off. I get to bring a third of the word this morning. The title of our message is, There Has to Be More. I get the privilege of launching us off on life before the cross. So if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll start at verse 18. I'll give you a quick second to get there. When you get there, say, I'm there. Hebrews is in the back, right? It's towards the back. It's Old Testament, in case you need some help. When you get there, say, let's go. Starting at verse 18, it says, you have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I am terrified and trembling. The author is pointing to, hey, this is not where we are anymore, but he's pointing to a period in history where the Israelites, it wasn't long, it was probably about after 3 months, they were out of Egypt. And they find themselves in the Sinai wilderness at the foot of this mountain, and they see the presence of God, and they're absolutely terrified. God actually wants them to come up to the mountain to be in his presence, but they're so terrified at God's presence. They're like, they look at Moses like, nah, Moses, you got this one. We're good. We're not going up there. Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 and 19 says, when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. You speak to us and we will listen, they said to Moses. But don't let God speak to us or we will die. I can remember being a boy and being so scared of the presence of God. A little bit about me, I grew up, not in Grand Rapids, but when we went to church, I went to an all-black Pentecostal church. And after about 6 hours, 6 hours in, there was an altar call. And I remember the pastor would invite us up and say, you all need to come up and get prayed for. Come and spend some time in the presence of God. And people would walk to the front and I would see dancing and I would see hands raised and I would see celebration. But remember, I'm a boy and I remember seeing a couple of times the pastor would have his hand up and it would land on a forehead of a man or a woman and they would fall out. And you would have a group of women that would run over with white blankets and they would cover them up. And my mom would look down at me sometimes and she would say, you want to go up to the altar? I look back up here and I said, I'm good. If that's what the presence of God looks like, I'm straight. I want no parts of that. Had me looking around for a tambourine to play so I can act like I'm busy and I can't go up there. So Moses goes up to the mountain, and on the mountain, God gives him the Ten Commandments. You ought to remember the story. He gives him the Ten Commandments and the Old Covenant Law. But the law proved to not be enough. So remember this. God gives the law to Moses, through Moses, for the Israelite community. But in a way, it was still unfulfilled. It proved to not be enough. As a matter of fact, the law only further really helped to identify our own weaknesses. The law never really gave the permanent internal change that was so desperately needed for God's people. But it did provide for a way for atonement for sin to happen. The old covenant had to be ratified or signed or endorsed by the blood of animals. I like to sometimes insert myself into the Bible, and I can just picture being in the wilderness and seeing the bloodshed before the cross, seeing the animals dead, the smell, like the stench. All year, Israelites and God's people had to bring a sacrifice to be slaughtered for their sin, whether it was intentional sin or unintentional sin, there had to be bloodshed. It was really a vivid picture of the magnitude of God's people's sins. But it was also a reminder of God's grace. Yes, it was a reminder of God's grace. But it was a picture of the seriousness and the consequences of our sin. There was something called the Day of Atonement. Who's heard of the Day of Atonement before the cross? This had to have been the saddest day on Israel's calendar. The high priest before the cross was the central figure here. There was two goats, and it was the high priest's job to not only atone for the sins of the people in Israel and the Israelite community, but also for his own sins. There was a goat that was to be slain. He was going to be sacrificed as a purification offering. And what that was is before the cross, it was a picture of Christ dying for our sins. But then there was a scapegoat. And what would happen is the priest would put his hands on the scapegoat, and he would confess all of the sins of the people of Israel onto this goat. The goat would then get led into the wilderness, into what the Bible would call an uninhabited place, to never be seen again. It really did. It fulfilled God's desire for sin and the consequences of its sin to be removed from God's people. It was a free and full remission of sin, just as if they had never sinned. Before the cross, it was really just a temporary sense of relief of being able to be right before God all over again. Before the cross, for me, I used to be an on-again, off-again believer. I remember there were times where things got rough for me and my family. We'd find ourselves at the feet of Jesus, back in church, in full agreement with what God said. Yes, Lord, everything that you said, I agree 100%. God, just fix this thing that I'm walking through right here. But the minute or the season that our circumstances changed, we were no longer on our knuckles, and it wasn't as hard as it once was, I'd find that my allegiance to God was partial. I was no longer sold out. As a matter of fact, Lord, I need my Sunday mornings and my weeknights back. I'm trying to party on Sunday. We sleep in on Sunday. I'm partying Saturday night. It was a vicious cycle of sin in my life. And there were times where I would wonder, is this it? There's got to be more. There has to be more. You might be here today, and you might be caught up in that vicious cycle. You might be watching online, and you're caught up in this vicious cycle of on again, off again, hot and cold. You're in, you're maybe out. Your circumstances is, yet they're dictating your commitment to God. I wonder how many of us are in here right now saying, there's gotta be more. I can picture the Israelite community. The Israelites, year after year, a time of atonement had to happen. Sacrifice after sacrifice, bloodshed upon bloodshed upon bloodshed. I wonder how many times the Israelite community were like, there has to be more. There has to be more.
The cross. Like Pastor Troy, although we attended church here and there, I feared the idea of being in God's presence because we couldn't stay in one place longer than 5 years. God to me was a distant figure who I had no access to, and I worried that he would reject me if he only knew how unworthy I was. If he knew everything about us, then how could I, someone who had nothing to offer, believe that a God who is so holy would rescue me from the pain? Why would this Father not reject me and abandon me just like my friends and just as my earthly father did? At that time, everything seemed hopeless. But the cross. Like throughout Hebrews, the author here in Hebrews 12 reminds the audience that they should remain faithful to Jesus despite their circumstance. The audience that this author in Hebrews 12 is talking to, they're facing persecution. And he uses this contrast between the scene at Mount Sinai that Pastor Troy just drew a picture of to bring us to this new reality. He takes a turn at verse 22, and it says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word, than the blood of Abel. If you receive anything from me today, let it be this. We no longer cry hopelessly. Pastor Troy, Pastor Jeremiah, me, Pastor Sam, we no longer cry hopelessly as we did before the cross, because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. For me and you, not just us, for all of us. And as Pastor Sam said, for the nations. The contrast between Mount Sinai and this experience would not have been possible if not for the sacrifice of Christ. The author of Hebrews would not be able to bring this audience joy in the midst of their circumstance if not for Jesus. We would not have hope in the midst of our hopeless situation if not for the cross. And this is what I mean. We're going to focus on verse 24, and I'm going to bring it back. In verse 24, it says that Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. The word mediator in Greek, I promise I'm not going to go to Bible college on you, literally means someone who goes between two parties to resolve a dispute. The only resolution that would bridge the gap between God and his people had to be by blood. It couldn't just be any blood. It couldn't just be any animal. To establish the new covenant, the sacrifice had to be sinless and with no fault. Because the promise that God had and has for us is eternal. Jesus willingly shed his blood so we could be rescued and not face the judgment of our sins. The God at Mount Sinai is still the same God that we have today. He hasn't changed. He's still a judge. And he lovingly sent his son for us, for me, for what? Gonna slow down. Slow my roll. Jesus willingly shed his blood so we could be rescued and not face the judgment of our sin. In Matthew 20, 28, we see Jesus tell his disciples, the Son of Man has came to serve, not to be served, to give his life as a ransom for many. It wasn't easy. Imagine a moment when you felt forsaken by God. The Son of God cried out even, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus grieved and agonized as he prepared to go to the cross, but he still endured the shame, the pain, the abandonment for us. Even in the garden, as he prayed, Jesus asked God himself, if possible, would he let this cup of judgment pass him? Remember, he was fully human as he was fully God. But in that moment, his absolute submission to obey God won over. Despite his human pain, his fear, submitting to the Father was important. And this morning, I was praying about this, and I'm gonna go on a quick rabbit trail, just hang in there. And the Lord just dropped this thought. If Jesus could follow God's will all the way to the cross, then why am I not willing to follow God's will when it doesn't align with mine? There was never a question on whether Jesus was going to obey and follow through. Colossians 2, 13 through 15, it says, you were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then Jesus made you alive in Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. In another translation, it says that in our sinful, dead life, we were incapable of responding to God. It says that God brought us alive along with Christ. Amen. That's the reality I want to be in. Amen. The only acceptable bridge between the two was Christ sacrificially giving up his life for us so that our sinful nature and disobedience would no longer be a barrier between us and God. Can I tell you that Christ overcame so I would not and you would not have to endure the judgments of our sins? When he became man, Jesus wanted to offer us a salvation and comfort and encouragement in dark times, even throughout his suffering. Hebrews 2, 14 through 15. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Just rest in that for a moment. I cried without hope for years. It wasn't until I sat in a pew back there that I began to understand what the cross meant in my life. I was tired of working to be found worthy and finally realized I didn't have to. I didn't have to work to be worthy in order to receive the call of God. I didn't have to work to be worthy to be in this community. By his sacrifice, Christ gave us the ability to draw closer to God. Not only do we have access to God, but we get to worship him in eternity alongside the angels and the saints. Not only do we have hope for more here and now, we have hope for what's to come on Sunday. And not even that, we have hope for what's to come in eternity. Why would we want to return to the hopeless time? Why would we want to return to Mount Sinai, somewhere fear-ridden, somewhere where we have to work so hard to just be and to find our identity? When we hold on to the promises of verse 22 and through 24 in Hebrews 12, we get to keep our eyes on that cross and the promise that it represents. There is more. And there is joy.
All right, family, I get to land now. That's a beautiful time. Thank you guys for sharing your personal stories about your life. I'm gonna pick up where Pastor Rachel just left off right here on verse 24. We're gonna talk about what that means, what Pastor Troy talked about, what Pastor Rachel talked about, what does that mean for us right now, today? Because of the cross, each one of us has the ability, we have access to a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hebrews 12:24, I want to read it from the Amplified Version. And so let's take off right here. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, uniting God and man, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of mercy, a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. The word, I love that. I used to read that verse and not know what that meant. That the blood of Christ speaks a greater word. The blood of Abel, the first murder, the first bloodshed, spoke of vengeance. It spoke of justice on God's terms. Our sin cries out for justice, but the blood of Jesus cries out grace and mercy. I remember being this, if you would, just bear with me here. This call that Hebrews is making, if you look at verses 16 and 17, and then you look at verse 25, it's sandwiched between the text that Pastor Troy and Pastor Rachel read. This kind of these bookends to this passage. The author is making a very clear statement. Do not ignore the blood. Do not ignore the cross. Do not ignore the access that has been given to you. I remember years and years ago being so broken, so lost, that I was having my hopeless moment. There's gotta be more. If you can just picture with me, I was in the street. It was raining out. I like to have fresh shoes. I had a fresh outfit on, but I was kneeling in a mud puddle. And in that mud puddle, I had my arms up and I was crying out, there has to be more. Raindrops, it wasn't a torrential rain, but it was raining enough that it was nighttime and I could see the flicker of raindrops hit my face. And as I knelt there, I cried out, there's gotta be more. There's gotta be more. And my fists were up. And my body then went limp. And I, you know, when your shoulders droop. And I was hopeless. This was my today moment. The book of Hebrews, if you look through it, there's always this phrase going on, chapter 3-4. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. And this was my today moment. As I knelt and went limp, I felt the presence of God, or what I thought to be the presence of God, and I looked up at the streetlight, and all the raindrops went in slow motion. And they hit my face. And next thing you know, the Lord was kneeling with me in my mud puddle, and I felt his face come face to face with mine. So much so that I flinched back. I'd share that story with you. If you could, would you bow your eyes with me? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? I share that story with you because you may be in your mud puddle moment. You may be in that moment where you've, maybe life feels like you're in the middle of the street. It's been raining on you. This cross, this message of before the cross and but the cross and because of the cross, you have access. You can encounter God today. Whether you're in your mud puddle or not, this is your day. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.